Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, welcome to tonight's show. So we're going to be updating you on, actually, Jeanette Finnicum is going to be updating us all on the current state of the USB Estorita case of the FBI agent who lied about firing unprovoked upon LaVoy Finnicum and company and the Bundys and turned around and lied about it. So that trial is ongoing. We're going to be covering it as best as we can. So we have a report from Jeanette, but before we get to that, let's just cover something that came out of by Sherry DeVal, Readout News. Greg Bretzing, the former special agent in charge during the Mount Hear protest in January 2016, was the first witness to testify in the trial of W. Joseph Estorita. Estorita, member of the FBI's hostage rescue team, HRT, is accused of lying about firing his weapon on the day that LaVoy Finnicum was killed, as well as obstruction of justice. During his testimony, multiple points were revealed that were never disclosed to the defendants in the two Mount Hear protest trials, of which this trial centers around. This information could be considered Brady material, which would have been required to be turned over to the defense. Bretzing explained that there were two surveillance planes flying, one at night using infrared cameras after the shooting. The video will be played in court. The infrared shows, and you get the idea what's going on here. So Bretzing also revealed that they had over 300 agents in the area. Additionally, the HRT members had been in the area for 2 weeks, staying at a motel in Boise, Idaho. Further, Bretzing stated on the stand that there was a contingency plan for full-on assault on the refuge. This is important because in the previous two trials, it was stated that there was no such plan. Another lie. The rest of the contingency plan was in multiple parts, with one part being an ambush of the leadership while they were on the road. This was accomplished on January 26th. Another part of the plan was to place roadblocks all around the refuge, believing they could starve everyone out. They would then arrest everyone individually as they exited the refuge. This was to be the next step if the traffic had not worked. The traffic stop had not worked. Traffic stop, I like that. Ambush. Astoria's defense team chose not to cross-examine Bretzing at that time. The next witness was Travis Hampton from Oregon State Police. He was the highest-ranking OSP officer on the scene. Hampton testified the OSP learned about Ammon Bundy's occupation at the rally, not before. The defense questioned Hampton on his relationship with Officer 1, that man that fired two of the three fatal bullets at Finnicum. The defense made a big deal of Hampton's testimony with lots of cross-examination. So they were trying to show that Hampton and Officer 1 are good friends and that Hampton may very well have covered up any mistakes Officer 1 committed. This is one of the multiple defense theories of this case. The final witness of the day was Scott Ward. This is, you know, going back a few days. Senior HRT member positioned at Stop 1. The basics of Ward's testimony where he had gave command after the shooting to have the road closed. The only vehicles allowed were law enforcement or ambulance. The purpose of this testimony was to show that the random tires did not pick up the shell casings, which is another of the defense theories. There was no random people walking around picking up shell casings because it was a sealed off to everyone other than law enforcement. The case continued on. We had Jeanette on, Jeanette Finnicum on yesterday with Shauna Cox. And today, tonight, just moments ago, this update was posted. Can you please roll Jeanette's update, please?
Today is Friday, the fourth day of the trial. They had Officer BM with the FBI, Officer John Nider, and Officer 1 and 2 today testifying. It was quite an interesting day to be there to hear their testimonies. It was emotional for me. It was hard to keep my composure at times, but I know that the Lord was with me to help comfort me. As I'm sitting there, listening to these men describe my husband or the people that were involved as militia, armed terrorists, basically. They didn't use the word terrorist. However, they continued to say that they were armed and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself, this is, you know, based on the threat assessment that they received from probably Dan Love. And we have learned mm-hmm. since then that the threat assessment that was given to the Oregon officials was tampered with, and it was manipulated and falsified. And so these men were not dealing with a true description of Ammon and Ryan and Lavoie and the men that were there. They were not militia men. My husband was not in a militia. I will keep saying that until I can no longer speak. It was interesting during Officer Nider's testimony, he was describing how the radios kept failing and weren't working, that they had to use the Oregon State Police radio to communicate. Every single one of the officers testified to the fact that as Lavoie approached the kill stop in his truck, that they all heard him accelerate. However, as we're watching the video, as they're describing that, and we're watching Lavoie's truck, the brake lights are on, okay? And then they describe how they feel that that Lavoie was intentionally heading for their fellow officer, John Nider. And that's not what I saw in the video either. When it's enhanced, you can clearly see the brake lights. You can clearly see my husband jolt right at the last minute, just as you see that officer leap out into the way. You see Lavoie jolt even more with his truck. But they clearly have a narrative. They clearly want to demonize my husband, even though Astorita is on trial for making these shots and then lying about it. They are successfully painting their picture, their narrative, and demonizing my husband as a man who was wanting to do them harm, which was completely false. I know him. He would have never. In fact, that's the reason he didn't plow through that roadblock. That's the reason he jolted the truck at the last second, not to hit that officer who jumped in front of him unexpectedly. If he had wanted to hurt somebody, he would have. As it continued, the testimonies, they testified to the fact that they could hear shots going off. And BM specifically stated that Astorita was next to him in the area that he was standing in behind the truck for protection. And he said he later saw a casing on the ground, which I found to be very interesting. There were a couple officers that said that they saw a shell casing in the ground in that area between the three vehicles in that V formation, but later it disappeared. There was no record of it. Nothing was taken into evidence. In fact, there were no casings that were taken into evidence that was testified to in court. I'm looking at my notes because so much information. You sit there all day long and you hear sometimes the same things over and over again by these officers. And then when they cross-examine, you know, you're hearing the same thing from not only the person testifying, but you're hearing the defense even put across their narrative of how the militia and the threat was clear. They make a lot of statements rather than ask questions. There was testimony to the fact that Astorita had to be asked to calm down, that he was really amped up, and two or three officers did testify to the same thing, that his behavior was odd, he was excited, and he was told to be quiet and to calm down. After the shots were fired and Lavoie was killed and they had secured the truck, there was testimony to the fact that BM, Astorita, and Nider all went to the front of the truck and examined it where they did find a bullet hole there, and they had some discussion amongst themselves about that bullet. And then later on in the night, you know, maybe a half hour later or so, but it was dark by then, they are looking for, well, they're testifying that they're picking up their flash spoons and the different things that they're trying to pick up because they're sensitive materials that need to be picked up and gathered. But then all of a sudden that one shell casing that was in that area next to BM and Astorita comes up missing. Mm-hmm. I find that curious. There was some conversation about that particular casing amongst the officers in reference to, was that a 308 casing or was that a 223 casing that we saw there? Was that yours or was that ours? That was the kind of conversation that was going on between the OSP and the FBI. But yet the casing disappeared. There was a point in the investigation a few days later where they interviewed the FBI mm-hmm. agents that were involved, and they did it in a group, as a group, and that is contrary to normal protocol. The reason that they don't normally interview agents or anyone in a group is because there's problems with that. One, the different individuals get to hear each other's testimony, and then the answers get confused or skewed. Maybe they're afraid to tell what they know in front of another person, so they generally don't interview suspects or officers in this case to find out what their narrative, what they saw, or what they did in a group. So I find it very interesting. That was the FBI insisting upon having that interview as a group. Officer number two, that's when it got a little bit difficult for me. Officer number two was brought into the courtroom, and he proceeded to go through the events of that day and how he shot at my husband. He talked about the interviews and about the information that was coming their way beforehand, about all of the threat assessment that they had been given, and they were considered armed and dangerous individuals. He talked about at the first stop where they used a non-lethal round and shot at Ryan Payne and hit him in the arm, and that the FBI was not happy with the officer from OSP using a non-lethal round at that point. The truck, the people in the truck felt like they were being fired upon. They were in fear for their life. They did not feel safe. They didn't feel like it was safe to even get out of the truck. I found it very interesting that one of the officers described a non-lethal weapon as a momentary pain controller. And I wrote that down because I thought of the theory that we have is that Lavoie was being hit with non-lethal rounds, which were causing his hands to go maybe up and down and grabbing his side, because they described it in such a way that it wouldn't cause or break the skin or cause death, but it would be a way to control that person for a moment or two. And I could see that happening with what was happening with Lavoie out there in the middle of the snow. Officer one came in. He's the one that shot two shots into Lavoie, and he barely got started. He will be first to testify again, to finish his testimony on Monday morning. But he did have a few things to say. You know, like I said, he just began his testimony. He talked about how they had been briefed, because you need to remember officer number one is part of a SWAT team in the OSP. He's a special unit. So they had been briefed quite a bit prior to even December about the group that kept coming up to Oregon, and that would have been Ammon, and I don't know who would have been with Ammon, but they had been surveilled clear back in October, November, and December. My husband wasn't up there at that time. My husband didn't go up until January 2nd to stand for the Hammonds. But the rumor was that this Ammon was going to be willing to stop the Hammonds from turning themselves in. And that was not the case. I don't know of anything like that. I know my husband wouldn't have participated in anything like that. And so I found that interesting. But that just goes to show you how much they were ramping up the threat with these officers. The threat assessment that was going to them made them in fear for their lives, and they portrayed Ammon and Ryan Payne and Lavoie and all of the other men and women that were at Malheur as these hardened criminals that were ready to start World War III. I found it interesting also that the Forest Service, the FBI, the BLM, the Oregon State Police, and the HURT team were all involved in the planning of Malheur. They were all involved at one level or another in putting together the kill stop and in organizing the security that was coming into their town. That is my update for today. Again, I appreciate all of you who continue to stand with me and my family and who continue to support us in every which way that you do. We're determined to see this thing through to the end, to hold them accountable for killing Lavoie. I believe that they could have, you know, watching the tapes and listening to these officers, they didn't even try to use non-lethal force on my husband. They could have used that taser. They could have found another way to bring him down. They did not need to kill him. He never drew a weapon. And I am not satisfied with them feeling like they might have been threatened. I'm not satisfied with that. You can't feel that way. You need to be... You need to see that you're going to be in some harm. That's the way it used to be. You had to see a weapon before you could shoot. They're changing things, people. We need to hold them accountable, and we need to push back. Push back on this new regulations that are out, and they need to go back to the training that they used to rely on. They go back to being our public servant. Anyways, thank you so much. I love you all. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeanette Finnicum today. And, you know, just to give you a little bit more background on this case, for those of you who haven't been, you know, deeply following it, there were some opening statements that was pretty much a bombshell in and of itself. This Astorita, this FBI guy, member of his the HRT team. He lied, obstruct justice, of course, in connection to the events culminating in the shooting of Lavoie Finnicum. A jury of 9 men and 3 women were seated on Tuesday. This is when it started, with opening statements on Wednesday. Prosecution put forth strong arguments against Astorita, with the defense following up by grasping at straws in their strategy to show some reasonable doubt for their client. To begin with, according to the prosecutor, there were 8 shots fired, with only 2 shell casings being recovered. Prosecution suggested Astorita collected the missing 6 casings. Included in the defense opening statements were that their client could not have fired at the vehicle because he is one of the finest shooters in the world and therefore would not have missed his target. My God. Alrighty then. Well, if that's the case, then well, he's already been proven a lie. They contend that this should prove his innocence. They did not address the fact that he may very well have hit his mark exactly if he were attempting to provoke the Oregon State Patrol, the OSP, into shooting at the truck. This has been my contention all along, that the shots fired upon the truck is what really poured gasoline onto a kindling. The police weren't fired on. There was no offensive action that was taken against the police. And this is what happens. We'll be back with more reports from this trial today and more Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, a flood down in Texas.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, I have one more report out of today's events to come to you from Kelly Stewart. She has been covering this as well. We also thank Readout News, their coverage. But go ahead and roll Kelly Stewart on the USV Astorita case.
Guys, Kelly Stewart here. I forgot that my speaker is not working, so I have to start this live stream over with a headset on. Sorry about that. So I just want to kind of give my own opinions about court the last 2 days. There is a court case going on in Portland. For those of you who don't know, Agent Astorita is being charged with lying to police officers and also obstruction of justice. And so I'm just going to kind of talk through my own observations. I am independent, which means I can give my opinions a little bit more freely to the public and things that I see, while those who are more personally involved with the case cannot. And I think what I'm actually going to do, Maxine just put out a great report, and I'm just going to read what Maxine wrote, and then I think we'll just kind of talk through it, and I'll share some of my perspectives. And I'm sorry, Tammy, it's on. So I'll just get started with reading Maxine's report quickly, and then I'm going to talk about some of the hypocrisy that I see, and also talk a little bit about Judge Jones and my personal opinion of Judge Jones in the ways that he has handled things in the past with the defendants. Judge Jones did just turn 91 years old, and he is presiding over this case for this FBI agent. I'll just say quickly, I believe it's, has three counts, facing a max of 10 years, I believe, for each count. If they're served concurrently, then it would be just a max of 10-year sentence. It wouldn't be 30 years. If he's convicted and if they actually sentenced him to time, my anticipation is that he would end up walking with maybe a year, and it would probably end up just being probation, to be honest. I do not see this highly esteemed HRT agent going to prison over this. My personal opinion is that this is a dog and pony show. We've heard oftentimes that the FBI and the federal government in general will kind of have their own little patsy that they feed to the public, and it appeases the public in areas where there was grave misconduct like this. It was egregious actions by the FBI and Oregon State Patrol, and all the way up to Kate Brown, President Obama. And so sometimes the easiest way to appease the people is to feed them a story. This is going to be a multi-million-dollar trial, and have us all feel like, oh, you know, the government's going after the bad guys. When in reality, and with what I'll talk about today too that happened, the government is not going after the bad guys. These guys aren't even being charged with attempted murder. They're being charged with obstruction of justice. So basically, you can kill the peasants, but don't lie to the king, is the message that I take away. Kill the peasants, totally good. Don't lie to the king. So I'm going to just read this report from Maxine today, and then we'll kind of talk through some of it. The Oregon State Police trooper who fired the fatal shots at the refuge occupation at spokesman Robert Lavoie Finicum in 2016 were not interviewed by investigators until 5 days later. Travis Hampton, then a state police major in charge of agency operations, exchanged multiple text messages with one of the two troopers before his interview. Officer 1 and 2 are the two who fired the fatal shots at Lavoie Finicum, including one as he met with the investigators. The state trooper also left his rifle in a truck overnight at the scene. FBI agents at the shooting site didn't write any reports about their roles at the roadblock that day. Details of a chaotic confrontation and its aftermath came out in the first day of testimony in the trial of indicted FBI agent W. Joseph Astorita, accused of lying when he denied he fired two shots at Finicum's truck. One shot hit the roof of the truck and the other missed. Moments later, troopers shot and killed Lavoie Finicum. So I'll pause with that. If this agent shot at the roof of the truck when Lavoie Finicum's hands were raised in the air, would it be reasonable, if in fact he did reach for a gun, if he jumps out of the truck and is moving away and realizes, oh my gosh, these people are about to kill me, which I don't believe his gun was on him. I totally believe that was a plant. The pocket, the positioning, It's not reasonable to believe that that gun was on him. But even if it was, now that we have an FBI agent, or an officer for that matter, lying about shooting when Lavoie Finicum's hands were raised up in the air, would it be reasonable if he had reached for a gun? I believe he was reaching to where one of the agents had shot him with a rubber bullet in the hip. He reaches, he points back at the agent, they shoot him 3 times in the back, the other agents. Okay.
All right, we'll be back after a few words from our sponsors. More with Kelly Stewart on today's U.S. v. Astorita, the FBI who fired and lied.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of tears.
Welcome back.
With no provisions.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart. We're covering the trial of USV Astorita, the FBI agent who fired upon Lavoy Finicum's truck and then lied about it. I so far I completely agree with Kelly's analysis of this, and in that you know, there should be charges that are certainly far more severe than what is being brought. However, the one thing that I would like to say is I do have a certain amount of respect for that the sheriff's department that investigated and brought this to light. They didn't allow it to be swept under the rug. And for that, they deserve to be commended. So without any further ado, let's get back to Kelly Stewart's report on Friday's update.
Okay. Prosecutors called Greg Bretzing to the stand. Sweet Greg Bretzing. Now, Greg Bretzing is the FBI agent who was also involved with Dr. Red. And Dr. Red ended up committing suicide because of the atrocities that went on in his case with Greg Bretzing and Agent Dan Love. An absolute atrocity that took place, and instead of these individuals being fired, they end up getting promoted. So, you know, I don't know, people ask me, do I ever feel in danger of my safety because I speak up? Look, I feel more in danger for my safety if I don't speak up, because there's psychotic agents out there who have a license to kill on my tax dollars. So I feel a little bit more concerned when the American people will not speak up versus when we do. Let's see. So Sweet Brett Singh takes the stand. He was in charge at the time and since retired. This is very common. You'll notice whenever there's corruption within our agencies and our government, the person who is being accused retires. That's a really sweet way of allowing the person to still collect his pension, his retirement, while he's under investigation and while he's taking public criticism. So let's see, he's retired. Hampton, who is now a state police superintendent, and also Scott Ward, a supervisory FBI special agent, who was the highest ranking FBI agent on U.S. 395 when the shooting occurred January 26. So those are the witnesses that were called today. Brett Singh said he approved the Malheur Wildlife Refuge Militia Operation Vehicle interdiction plan to intercept the occupation leaders as they drove off the refuge that day. Thank you, Mark McConnell, who was the federal snitch that was involved helping to set that up. They were part of an armed group who took over the refuge headquarters 3 weeks earlier. So whenever we talk about armed groups, somebody who doesn't use a weapon, I immediately think of all the armed groups that I see that I am actually in fear of when I'm around, and that's police officers, federal agents who are above the law. And, you know, we don't talk about these people as, oh, there's an armed group that's in our town right now. We go, well, they're the law. They can be armed. And so it's just interesting that a government who relies on guns and weapons to keep our border safe, to keep the president safe, that they're constantly pointing out when the public is armed. They don't point out when agents are armed. They don't say armed agents went and investigated. It's just agents. It's just a given. Well, it used to be in our country, it was just a given the American people were armed. In fact, back when you were when our country was first formed, if you were within the age range to be in the militia, you were required to be armed. Because if they had to call you up, what are you going to do if you're unarmed? So this whole idea that it's shocking that this armed group took over a federal building, you know, that they are able to demonize this group with that statement. It should show people who support the Second Amendment. It should show people how far we've come from being a nation that actually supports the Second Amendment. Okay. He watched the arrest unfold. This is Brett Singh. Brett Singh was safe and secure back in the school in Burns. He wasn't actually out there on the front lines with his people. He watched the arrest unfold on a live feed from the FBI's aerial video in the command post. Boy, doesn't that sound intimidating? In the command post, which when they talk about the refuge occupiers, about their command post, they demonized them and made it look like some huge military operation. But the fact that they put the entire town of Burns under martial law, terrorized the people, literally terrorized the people, and had a command post is completely okay. Had a command post on the second floor of the middle school in downtown Burns. Brett Singh wanted the feed recorded and replied, absolutely, when somebody asked, are you sure you want to do that? So the fact that he testifies to that, are you sure you want to do that? It continues to show me the heart of secrecy within our agencies. The fact that somebody would say, are you sure you want to be recording this, tells me that there was already conspiracy and premeditated attacks on these individuals beforehand, which we did learn was the case. And there were, what, over 300 FBI agents who had been meeting in Idaho and who were ready at the drop of a dime to head into Burns. So the fact that they said, are you sure you want to do that? Because see, the cameras, these cameras here are really the biggest threat to a tyrannical government, because they live with secrecy and lies and deception to the American people. And when we pick up a camera or somebody else is videoing something, it exposes their corruption. And their biggest fear is that the American people would actually start to learn just how corrupt they are. So the group from the refuge was divided into two carloads, some in Finicum's white pickup and the others in a copper-colored Jeep. Brett Singh watched Finicum pull away from the police stop on the highway, speed off towards a roadblock further north, and then swerve into a snowbank. It's important to note that when Finicum, sped off, that they had just had gunshots fired. They say that they were non-lethal shots, but how would the defendants have known in the car if it was non-lethal or not? They all made the statement, oh my gosh, they're firing at us. Why are they firing at us? When Ryan Payne started to get out of the vehicle. Somebody's firing at my vehicle. I don't care who they tell me they are. I'm probably going to drive away. He and Hampton, Bretzing and Hampton, each testified that they thought Finicum's truck had struck the FBI agent. So now if you think somebody has injured one of your own, now you have the right to go right to lethal force, even if they didn't. Don't worry about facts. Hey, this is just a life here. Don't worry about proof. If you think they struck them, you have a right now to shoot. I thought we had an officer killed, Hampton said, as though the officer's life would somehow be more important than the civilian's life. The first information Bretzing got from the scene was that both state and FBI had fired, state police and FBI had fired shots. Within 5 minutes or so, he said, that was corrected. Strike that, OSP shooters only, he said. Bretzing said to Schutz County Sheriff Shane Nelson in the days after Finicum's shooting's death, asked him to make sure everybody reported their shots. Nelson led a team of Oregon investigators who investigated the fatal shooting of Finicum. The next month, Bretzing said he got a call from Oregon's U.S. attorney saying the Deschutes County Sheriff investigators wanted to show him something that concerned him. I am going to probably have to pause and find a charger. I know I always do this. I'm not prepared. Actually, I should dig it out right now. A splitter.
Gotta love Kelly.
Because these wonderful new iPhones.
She's been reporting wonderfully.
Don't have any more than one port, so you have to take your splitter everywhere with you. So, I know this is so bad, you guys. I'm sorry.
Independent media live reporting on scene.
So he's saying, why aren't you prepared? Because I don't do this for a living. And I'm not usually prepared. Okay, I'm going to set this down for a minute and grab a headset, guys. I'll be right back.
All right, folks. This is Kelly Stewart. This is a live report on Friday's trial, U.S. V. Astorita. And this is one of the things that I happen to love about this reporting. It's about as authentic as it comes, on the scene, reporting as it goes along. Many of these people have been over the course of this time, from Las Vegas to Oregon. God bless her. Here she comes.
Hi. Sorry, guys. I can't find my splitter, so I'm just going to have to go quick so that I don't lose my battery here. Okay, so within a day, Bretzing went to the sheriff's office, and Ben, they said they had something they wanted to talk about. It appears they were looking for something, Bretzing testified. They watched some of the aerial footage with the infrared, and they were able to point out that the officers, which this is what is so surprising to me, why is there only one FBI agent being indicted? Why is there only one FBI agent indicted? This was a conspiracy clear as day. It appears they were looking for something. He said he saw the lights from their rifles shining on the ground. They were moving it, kicking the snow. And in other notes that I have from earlier said that one of them actually got down on the ground and was looking through the snow. As a group, every one of these agents knows who fired this weapon. Astorita's whole issue of or pointing the finger at the OSP-1, the officer who actually killed LaVoy, it's a really weak defense. I will be shocked if it works with this jury because everything points to him and all these FBI agents standing around in the snow looking for something and then 8 shell casings go missing. It's clear as day what has happened here, you guys. It appears they were looking for something. They're kicking things around in the snow. As a past leader of the FBI's shooting incident review team, Bretzing said what he was watching did not follow FBI protocol, which is leave a scene as intact as possible. Take photos of an officer-involved shooting scene before touching any potential evidence. This is standard protocol. They did not follow that. Ward, the supervisory FBI agent, had watched the initial stop of the refuge leaders from a video behind the state police and FBI agents who had approached the Jeep and Finicum's truck. He was supposed to handle any media or militia inquiries at the scene and was getting updates from the roadblock. But he was frustrated by the poor radio communication. Well, when you ambush people on a road with no communication so they can't call for help, you're probably also going to have poor radio communication. He was frustrated. He asked another FBI agent to go and check who fired the shots and who was hit. He said he went to the shooting scene two times, noticed a lot of foot traffic, no crime scene tape, no crime scene log that kept track of who was coming and who was going. He testified that hostage rescue team agents typically do checks to account for anything that might have dropped after the shooting, such as a radio, flashlight, spare magazine, or pieces of a flashbang grenade. This is a conspiracy, you guys. This was a group effort, and we have one FBI agent on the stand. That pisses me off, just to be honest, especially with all the defendants that got roped in, like Joe Shaughnessy, who didn't even stay at the refuge, Jerry DeLimas in Nevada, who didn't even make it till the day after. Makes me sick. So they asked the officers if they had picked up anything, and Astorita replied, "I removed nothing," Ward testified. Hampton was grilled by the defense lawyer on text messages he exchanged with a state police SWAT officer identified as Officer 1, who fired the fatal shots at Finicum. In one exchange the night of the shooting, Hampton wrote to Officer 1, because they get to be concealed, we don't get to know their names, Officer 1, that he would approach the investigation as if he were personally in the officer's shoes. You told him that, right? Yes, I told him that. So they're trying to make it, FBI is trying to say, look, it was actually Oregon State Patrol. He's conspiring with his boss, trying to hide something. This is the agent who is standing around in the snow with his buddies, kicking things on the ground and getting down on his hands and knees, looking in the snow. He's doing the whole, not me, look over there at that one. That's the one you actually want. Total dog and pony show that we're even having to go through this prosecution, but we are. Hampton said Officer 1 had grave concerns that he, his wife, and his children would face harm because of his role in the shooting. Okay, look, you want to be a terrorist? That's your own choice. But why is the American taxpayers left responsible to work to conceal your identity to cover up your crimes? Is this how we treat criminals now? Somebody fires shots at a man when no shots needed to be fired at LaVoy. He would have not harmed any of them. And now we get to hear the victim role. He and his wife and his children would face harm. Well, LaVoy faced harm. Do you know the death threats that any of us have received for supporting these people? Nobody conceals our names. Nobody concealed the defendants' names. Nobody concealed their families' names because they weren't the king. They were the peasants. Hampton said he told the officer that he'd be equally concerned if the roles had been reversed and he would approach it the same way. This is the blue line of silence. We're talking FBI here, but it applies the same. Sussman asked Hampton if he was suggesting that he'd intercede in the investigation. Absolutely not, Hampton said. Continued to question him about the text messages. He said at 10:15 a.m. the day after the shooting, Hampton texted Officer 1 and said, "I have some info. Feel free to call." According to Angeli, who was reading the message, 90 minutes later, Hampton sent another text message and said, "Have an update when you're free." On January 28, 2016, Hampton sent a text message to Officer 1 saying he was meeting with Deschutes County Sheriff's investigators at the moment and lining up the FBI aerial video so the officer could view it before his interview. "I'd given him consistent updates," Hampton said, adding later that he wasn't providing updates on the shooting inquiry, but on the status of the refuge occupation and arrests. Sounds believable, right? "I don't recall setting up any FBI video, not for public consumption," he said. The video had already been shared with the media 2 days after the shooting. It was all over the internet. Under questioning from Sussman, Hampton said it's fairly typical to work through a union representative or legal counsel to make sure an officer is available for an interview. Officer 1 and 2, which were the two who killed LaVoy, sat down with the sheriff's investigators on January 31st. January 31st was the first time. Now, I'm going to say something that didn't get in here. And that is, one, Astorita's defense, they're saying he was an expert marksman and he wouldn't have missed if it was him. That's his defense at this point. I can't find it in the notes. So after LaVoy and Ryan Bundy and Ryan Payne, LaVoy and Ryan and Sean and Victoria left the scene, after they fired at Ryan Payne, he then jumps out of the vehicle, goes into custody. The rest of them are like, I ain't getting out of the car. They want us dead. They leave. The officers radioed to Officer One. It looks like we're going to have to shoot Lavoie Fennicum. A vehicle is leaving the scene. A man who has harmed nobody, who has been protesting on public property. I know people want to say an armed takeover of federal building, but if that's the case, then it belongs to the king. Thought it's supposed to be public property. If you're going to protest your government, the best place to do it is going to be on public property. If you go to private property, you're probably not going to get very far, right? They'll just wave at you as they drive by and go, look at those protesters over there on private property. So if you're going to actually want to protest your government, the First Amendment states that you are allowed to protest your government for a redress of grievance, that your First Amendment rights will not be at all infringed upon. So they went to a public facility that was vacant. It was a great place to go protest in the snow. And they wanted to take those lands and get them back into the rightful owners, which was the people of Harney County. Lavoie drives away from them. And what is all of their response? Oregon State Patrol and FBI. I know people want to do the whole back the blue, but look, guys, they were all complicit in this murder. Every one of them, hundreds of them. None of them have come forward with the truth yet. They radio to the officer who kills Lavoie. It looks like we're going to have to kill Lavoie Fennicum. That is on court record. And the only charges we see in this trial right now are obstruction of justice and lying to the king. This is what we're spending our money on. If he's actually convicted, he'll go away for what, a year? Lavoie's gone. Defendants still sit in jail, five of them. On top of all of this, there has been so much exculpatory evidence, like the 200 FBI agents that were in Idaho, that could have been used in the previous trials. Whether the judge wanted to honor it or not and let it be used because she said it doesn't matter what the agents did and the police did because they were in the right and you can't claim self-defense. It still should have been in the discovery. There is so much that came out today that was never in the discovery. And we have five men right now sitting in federal prison, given lifelong felonies, men who would never harm a soul. And we have FBI agents firing their guns at civilians who are walking free. We have FBI agents who tried to clean up the crime scene who are walking free and facing no charges. They charged Jake Ryan with depredation of government property. Sitting in federal prison for that today, and we have FBI agents who picked up bullets that they fired as a group in a conspiracy, removed them from the scene, and then lied about it. Is it okay to fire your gun at somebody whose hands are up? Is that a part of de-escalation? What if Lavoie Fennicum had gotten away? Are those agents, both the Blue Line and the FBI, are they now the judge, jury, and executioner? Yes. That's how they robbed us of due process. For everybody who says there's due process in America, I'm here to tell you, there is not due process in America. We have given the police the authority to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. It used to be, if somebody evaded you and got away, you couldn't just shoot them in the back. It would have caused riots in the street if somebody was shot in the back. Now, it's common practice. Well, they didn't do what they were told. Are you guys slaves or are you free men?
Absolutely true.
Now, fleeing when you feel your life is in danger is justification for them to murder you.
Cowards.
We've got a lot of problems that are going on already in this trial. Everything from, you know, the charges that are being ignored. On top of that, the fact that the public wasn't allowed in to jury selection. We have a 90-year-old man presiding over this case, a man that most states would probably take away his driver's license at this point, and he's literally sitting over these cases. He's the one who denied most of the defendants, many of the defendants back in Oregon, the right to release. He made Sean Anderson say out loud, "I agree, the federal government has jurisdiction over their land." Told Ammon and Ryan two times in their release hearings, "You cannot take the king's land." Don't believe me? Go look it up in the court records. Their release hearings that they were denied. "You cannot take the king's men land." So see, we bring up these references to peasants and kings, and they mock us. "Oh, they're free. They're exaggerating. You're not slaves. We don't own you. You can live free as long as you get the right permission slip. It's for your safety." And then a judge, Judge Jones, sat there and said, "You cannot take the king's land." The saddest part about where we are in America isn't that we live as slaves to our government, and that if we don't follow the correct laws, codes, rules, regulations, that we get shot, we go to jail, we get fined, or we go to jail, and if we refuse all that, we just get shot, and it's allowed based on what we've seen here with Lavoie Finicum. The saddest thing is that people don't know. And instead of worshiping God, they worship their government. They worship the police and the military. There was a day and time when the people cried out to God for their protection and their victories in their wars. Now we just invade more countries. We think there's a threat. Let's go invade them first. No wonder the world hates us at this point, you guys. This isn't difficult to figure out. You're out invading all these other countries. You're shooting people in the back, saying that you have a right to, and you're confused that people are upset with the police. You can die at a traffic stop if you get pulled over because your blinker didn't work, if you move the wrong way, and it's allowed. My solution, people want solutions, right? Turn back to God. Look to God for our safety. Stop worshiping the government. Stop worshiping the police. Stop worshiping uniforms. The Bible directly deals with uniforms and treating people in different clothes differently than those who are dressed as the poor. Stop worshiping the government. Start calling them out. Do your own video. Talk about what's going on in these trials, in these kangaroo trials that we see happening. At best, this man's going to get a year in prison. A lot of good things are coming out. I say good things as in evidence, things we wouldn't have learned any other way if we didn't have the FBI going up against the state police. We got one gang going up against another gang. All of them fighting together saying, "You did it. No, you did it." And none of them are telling the truth. None of them are speaking up and telling us the truth. All they're each doing is saying, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I don't have anything to do with that. I didn't do it." None of them are coming forward saying, "I was standing right next to him. He's the one who fired those shots." None of them. None of the blue line is coming out saying, "I was there. We were really heavy-handed with those guys. Ammon Bundy came into town multiple times. We could have taken him." He actually set up times where we were going to have interviews and meetings that we didn't show up to. We were wrong.
That is the truth. That is how it is. Folks, rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. Our most recent article on this case will be a self-updating article, so you only have to share that link and keep checking back on it. And we will be posting and publishing updates on this case. Rudy and Aaron Davis on Monday night will be back with us here at Jubilee.com. Until then, we'll see you Monday. Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.